Well, hello everybody and welcome. Welcome to another Words, Women and Wisdom radio show streaming out of BBS Radio in Dallas, Texas. I'm your host, Yvonne E.L. Silver. If we haven't met, you haven't been on one of the shows before, what's it all about? As a executive coach and certified EQI consultant, I share these radio shows because I want to introduce other women who are out in the world doing really interesting work, part of some of which are very often my clients and amazing women I've met in networking groups, to showcase their story of rising from tragedy to triumph, and are now out in the world doing really interesting work. So I invite my guests to join me. Today I had a hiccup, so I am your guest. I am the show host and also going to be speaking today. And I'm going to be drawing on content from my best-selling book, Words, Women, and Wisdom, The Modern Art of Confident Conversations. If you're listening on the radio audio piece, you'll be actually able to dial in today with questions. And if you're on the video, I'm just putting the cover up here. It's called Words, Women, and Wisdom, The Modern Art of Confident Conversations. And it's 40 different words and word concepts to help women ask for what they want and get it. Not being aggressive, being assertive, value-oriented, and clear in their ask. And dropping some of those weak words and infusing empowering language. So that's our topic for the discussion today. Your self-talk. Your words matter. They absolutely matter. Not only do the words that you use matter, but the tone, the energy, the passion, when you say them, whether you pause in the middle of a sentence, whether you pause at the end of a sentence, whether you speak fast, whether you speak slow, whether you have a deep tone, whether you have a high pitch, all of this impacts how your messaging comes across. So we're going to dive into some of those concepts today. A little bit dry here. So the Words, Women, and Wisdom radio show has actually been hosted now for about 5 years, interviewing all kinds of incredible women from Natalie Ledwell, Teresa de Grobois, Dame Clarissa Burt, to myself, Yvonne E.L. Silver, executive coach, CEO, and founder for Women and Wisdom Media. My work, my passion is women entrepreneurs who are seeking to flourish. And I help them to grow their business to flourish by having more clarity in their ask, getting more sales, and then also scaling up from a solopreneur to a CEO by hiring their first team. So what are the things you need to do to stop wearing all the many hats yourself, but to start delegating through others and hiring your first team? How do you hire the right person? How do you engage them, empower them, get out of the way so they can do their best work? And you can take a vacation while your business is still generating the top revenue and you're still retaining those strong client relationships. So there's an art to it. And having interviewed and heard about 6,000 people across my career, my professional 25-year plus career, I know that there are certain things that matter when it comes to hiring the right person, and developed actually a 12-step hiring process around that. So if you're listening and thinking, wow, I want to grow my business, but I don't know how to bring on my first team member, let's have a connection call afterwards. You can track me down through my website, yvonnesilver.com, on the contact page, and we can book a brief call and let's explore what you need. So that's part of the work I do. The other part is empowering women, empowering them to use their stories in a powerful way. Now, what's your story, you might ask? Well, if you have picked up a copy of my book, or if you've listened to the introduction video, the audio piece of that, it shares a bit about my story. Actually, I think we'll play that in a little bit, maybe in the intermission. In essence, though, my work is based on my past experience growing up and watching who I call my first unmentor, my mom, who showed me what not to do, not to have powerful language. And she ended up being criticized by my father so much that she lost her voice. More about that a little bit later. But that's what I grew up watching. And then he turned on me as well when I was 11. And that impacted how I asked and how I showed up in the world for about 40 years. Still working on some of that, the next waves of childhood evolution and childhood traumas that are coming up. The more that we grow as business entrepreneurs, the more that we go in through the journey and start peeling back the layers. When I'm working with my clients, I talk about the layers, almost equivalent to the rose petals. If you have a tight bud of a rose, you can't see the value inside the stamens. The seeds cannot be shared. Once that rose blooms, the petals open. Yes, the value is there because the stamens start to be able to shed their seeds. And that is what population is all about. So I am passionate because of my mom for this topic of women's equality. I also did quite a bit of work chairing mentorship programs back in 2018 and received an award, actually, Women of Inspiration Award from the group called Universal Women's Network, now known then as Canadian Business Chicks. And it was nice to be recognized for the work helping other women to speak their truth. And it got me more involved with some of the United Nations work because BPW is known globally for having a advocacy voice, for being able to impact change, not just in local government, but in national government, provincial, federal government, by bringing forward issues and recommendations and resolutions. And then those go forward also to the United Nations. BPW has a voice at the table for that group, and they meet annually and have many great conversations and conferences to really shift the needle on what women's work is all about. So at the United Nations Global Compact back on March 8th, 2010, so this is, founding on International Women's Day. They developed what they called the Women's Empowerment Principles. Equality means business. That was the initiative that they then launched. Now, if you're not familiar with this work, it is detailed in my book. It's on page 15, actually. But they talked about seven empowerment principles that companies could take to empower women in the workplace. Now, you might be listening as an entrepreneur. Hold on, don't go away. There's going to be lots of juicy content for you too, because it's all about today your self-talk. And that doesn't matter whether you are a woman entrepreneur or whether you are a professional woman working in the corporate setting. But here are those seven women's empowerment principles. If you're building your organization and you are scaling, you might want to keep these in mind as well. So they are, number one, establish high-level corporate leadership for gender equality. So when you showcase that you have 50% men and women on your leadership board, it sets the tone. Treat all women and men fairly at work, respect and support human rights and non-discrimination. Might seem obvious, and yet there are still many examples I hear from my clients of when women are not being treated fairly and being invited to the table. Number three, ensure the health, safety, and well-being of all women and men workers. So it is about creating a safe container to come to work. Four is about promoting education and training and professional development for women. Five is about implementing enterprise development, supply chains, and marketing practices that empower women. We have to invite women to come to the table. And that's part of my work, is having a stronger voice. Promote equality through community initiatives and advocacy is number six. And then number seven is measure and publicly report on progress as to gender equality. So those were the seven women's empowerment principles that were recommended. And companies that do focus on having a fair practice for women to come to the table and be fairly invited in are really thriving. It's much like social enterprise. Everybody wants to do business with companies that they know are doing good in the world. And when I launched this book, Words, Women, and Wisdom, The Modern Art of Confident Conversations, I decided I would actually offer a buy one, give one. So for every physical copy of the actual book that is purchased, not the audio book, the actual book, one is donated to a women's shelter, foundation, or not-for-profit as a match. So buy one and give one. And I do it in stacks of 10. So I'm not running all over town. I'm based in Calgary, Canada, at the base of the Rocky Mountains. If you've never been to Calgary, come on up in July for the Stampede. It's 10 days of partying in cowboy gear, free pancake breakfasts, entertainment, some amazing artists come to town. It's all about focusing on country music and stampede, rodeos, and incredible traditions from our national indigenous peoples as well. So a lot to come and celebrate in July. And of course, we're in Canada. So are you willing to think about for your own organization, what can you do to start empowering more women to step into the spotlight, to be promoted, to be paid more? Did you know that actually if women don't learn how to negotiate and they don't learn how to ask, there's research that was in several, quoted in several books. I put it in mine, Babcock and Levasseur research that shows that when women do not negotiate their very first salary, they can lose by the time they retire up to $500,000 just simply by not negotiating, not asking with their first salary position, because that compounds, right? If you don't ask for a higher salary when you're negotiating for the offer, and that is the perfect time to do it, when they've already expressed interest in you, they've put together an offer, they've already gone through the interview process, the hiring process, the second reference checking, all of those steps, they want you on the team. That is the perfect time to be negotiating the salary. Because if you're inside the organization getting a typical average increase, maybe 2 or 3 or 4% a year merit increase, you're not going to be getting as far ahead as if you'd had a really good base salary to start with. So that's more on the corporate side. So my fascination with words began a long time ago. Whether it was a handwritten note, whether it was a printed note, a sticky note, it really is about how can you have more powerful language yourself? Because your external words, negotiating with other people, asking for what you want, starts with acknowledging and endorsing your value first. So your inner self-talk is what matters. That's why your words are so very powerful. Now, if you've already thought about questions, you saw that this was posted on LinkedIn or Facebook, or you got one of my email updates, Women and Wisdom Insights, to know that this is a live show today. You can actually dial in with questions. Grab your pen and I will give you the number to dial in. It is 1-888-627-6008. Or if you're across Canada, across the world and 888 number does not work, you can also dial in on 1-323-744-4831. I will repeat those numbers again afterwards. So write your questions down. This is your opportunity for, hey, a little bit of one-on-one coaching perhaps. And certainly if you have questions, you want to power up your own language, you want to ask for more sales, bigger sales, you want to negotiate more powerfully, this is the place to pick up some tips on how to do it. So your words are so powerful. So this book that I wrote, it certainly is a gift for women. It's 40 different words and word concepts for women to ask for what you want. Because, you know, as we're sharing, I shared this in one of my speaking gigs. You know, you don't need everyone to like you, but they do need to respect you. So how do you build that respect? Well, there's three things that I learned from a couple of PhD women who wrote for the Center for Creative Leadership. Again, it's quoted in my book. And they recognize that there are things that women can do to build trust in the workplace. Three very simple things. They all begin with C. So if you're taking notes, here we go. The first one is competence. So whenever you are showing up, demonstrate your competence. People aren't going to give you a bigger job. They're not going to trust you with a bigger project, ask you to come back if you haven't done a great job first time out. So demonstrate clearly your competence. Second piece is consistency. So when you say you're going to do something, make sure that you follow through on that. Take notes, track the dates that you've promised something. In fact, you can actually endorse the fact that you are being consistent in your language. What I mean by that is when you reply, to give the person that you promised the report, the special request, whatever it might be, use the words as promised as the very starting line of your response. As promised, here's the special report. As promised, here's the research data. As promised. So you are confirming to them that you are a person who can be trusted just by using that phrase. And if you use that in the first three or four times that you are communicating with that new person, that new contact, it starts to put them in the mindset that when you say you're going to do something, you can be relied upon, you are trustworthy. Consistency. And the third one is caring. Yes, the old expression, people don't care about you until they know how much you care about them, certainly rings true. So when I say caring, imagine that you are in a corporate setting, maybe, or you're doing a customer survey for your entrepreneur business, and you're asking people to give you feedback. What do you then do with that feedback? If you can loop it back and say, thank you for sharing this. Because you shared this, I'm now going to change this. I'm going to implement a process. I'm going to put a process in place. I'm going to make sure that this is addressed. Here's how I'm going to do it, and loop back so that they know that A, they were heard, B, that you're doing something with the information, and C, they can see your action item to follow through. They will know that you truly care because you listened. And you did something with that information. That's the key. So, whether it is gathering feedback from a customer, maybe it's an angry customer, and they're telling you that this didn't work, this fell through, this fell short, it wasn't the caliber, the quality that they were looking for, make sure you pay close attention and see what you can do to tweak some of your processes. Now, if they're asking for something that is a huge change, may or may not fit with the values of your organization, may or not be, it may or may not be feasible to fund this year. Maybe you can only do a small portion of that. If you get an employee engagement survey where someone is saying, we need to change the whole system, you might not want to or be able to change the whole system right then and there. But what's one small step that you can do to acknowledge that you heard their idea and make a change? Well, the bigger project would take a little bit longer and needs to get funded or sponsored or supported by the board or is a much longer project. What we can do, though, is let's do this right now so we can start moving the needle and start seeing a difference. So people need to know that you are competent, consistent, and caring. So those are three things that you can easily implement. Now, when I looked at some of the content in my book, there's eight chapters, right? So it is divided up, excuse me, how to change up everyday language that trips women up. Whoa. Over the last 15 years, coaching women in particular, I've learned a lot about the women's language that messes with their head, the language that does not get them the result that they're looking for. And very often, one of those questions is, when women use the word why, now, especially when we're in business with men, and if there are men listening, please do not take offense. This doesn't apply to everybody. However, very often what I've heard from my clients, my female clients, is when they ask why, it's a very quick rebuttal. It's almost like they've thrown down the gauntlet and they've challenged somebody to explain what it is that they're doing. And why they're doing it. And why is one of those questions that can very easily get people's backs up. And in fact, I remember growing up as a young teenager, adventurous teenager, would come home late, would typically peel off my clothes. They'd end up on the floor. And then the next morning, my mom would be, in my bedroom picking up my clothes. Why didn't you put your clothes in the laundry basket? As a classic example. And just that why, it just got the hair on the back of my neck going up every single time I heard it because I felt like I had to explain myself. And why is something that, yeah, Simon Sinek, very famous, has the concept of the golden circle, and it does have why in the middle. While we need to understand our own why, what is our purpose? Why are we living the way we live? Why are we making the choices we make? That's a question you can ask of yourself, as opposed to a question that you can ask someone else. Because when we ask why, very often it will put them in a situation where they feel they are being scrutinized. So what can you do instead? Maybe use the word how. Hey, that's interesting. I'm curious, right? I love that expression. I'm curious. How did we get to this point? So try that terminology versus why are we doing it this way? Or why did that happen? How did we get to this point? I'm curious. And when you're coming from that place of curiosity, it's a whole different energy than the word why, which very often sounds like an interrogation. So right away, if you're thinking, oh, there's some things I want to change up in my language because I want to get different results, well, it's about asking a different question. Now, when I was going through my Royal Roads Executive Coach certification, I was amazed at myself because I got a 4.0 in that 6 month long university level course with Royal Roads. Why? Well, I asked myself that question because I'm passionate about language and the power of using language more effectively. So, not surprising that I did really well in that class. It was the only class that I ever got a 4.0 in because I am more of a people person than an academic. However, I love playing with language. So, limit the time that you use why. Be very mindful when you're including why in your questions. And see if there's a way to incorporate another word, like a how question, because it's powerful. The other thing is bringing in the word you know, especially when you put those two together. Why did you X, Y, Z? Well, right away, the person feels again like they're being punished, penalized, scrutinized, etc. So is there another way that you can ask the question? Try asking it as a we question, especially if you're on the same team with that person. Right? How did we get to this point? You don't have to ask the person to fess up to something. They know already, and they're possibly feeling quite bad or quite guilty about not delivering that project piece on time. They don't need you asking why. But if it's a process question, how did we get to this point? It gives them the opportunity to say, well, I confess, or I'm going to self-admit that I missed blah, blah, blah. However, it very often is about the process. So we're not blaming the person. We're understanding what the process is that led them to take the action they did, and the result was different than anticipated. The other thing that each of us can do, we all have projects. Whether it's a project with our children for the science fair, whether it's a project at work, a project that we're taking on as entrepreneurs, shifting something in our business. But when we are involving other people, especially when you're building your team and you're delegating, at the beginning of the delegation process, when you're setting up the project su for success, that's the time to ask for clarity and ask for understanding. How it sounds in practice is like this. That's interesting, Mary. Here's the project, here's the timeline, and here's what needs to get done. What are your first couple of steps to take on that project? How would you get that started? So, when you've clarified what needs to be done, what the timeline is, and the important factors, then you're freeing her up to be empowered to use her own skills, abilities, wisdom, knowledge, tools, etc., to take that project on and be empowered to run with it. But she knows the timeline, she knows the outcome and what success metrics look like, because you've talked about that at the beginning. And then she can tell you whether or not she's on track. Because if she has no clue how to start this project, it's going to come forward right away at the beginning when you are giving the instructions. You know, I'm not clear on this. I need a little bit more guidance. I'm not sure if I know how to use that tool. I think that deadline is unrealistic. Maybe you do need to discuss and agree on what are the items that are in scope for that timeline. Perhaps you do have an unrealistic expectation of what's feasible delivered to be delivered by that timeline. But with her expertise taking on the task, she can tell you how often, or sorry, how much time she thinks it's going to take. And then obviously pad the timeline, because if you really need it by Friday at noon, then maybe you ask for it by Thursday at noon. And so you've got a little bit of extra time. So delegation is key, but when we use the words why and you in the same sentence, I'm encouraging avoiding that. So use I'm curious, use how questions instead. Your self-talk. I have a whole chapter on elevating positive self-talk and confidence. Now, how do you do that? Well, when you start the day with gratitude and a gratitude practice, it really sets the tone for your energy for the day. Now, I'm also certified as a level two Reiki practitioner, as well as being, certified in EQI and a variety of other things. But I bring in that energy of setting ourselves up for success, thinking about what we already have, and then it's an expansion. So be in gratitude. What are you grateful for? What are you celebrating from the day before? What are you appreciative, fully appreciative of? Start there, set your energy for the day, and then you're more likely to have positive self-talk for starters. The other thing is seeing when you can remain in choice. Because when your back is not up against the wall, you have more choices. And sometimes we forget that we even have a choice. I talked to many, many women, especially in the last year, because I chose myself to step away from a toxic relationship and not be tolerating poor behavior in my relationship anymore. And so I chose to walk away. That was my choice because we can't expect that other people are going to change. The only thing that we can change is our own response to what's happening around us. That's something that we're in control of. That's something that we have a choice with. Now, yes, there may be some consequences, some implications, some things we need to refine. Yet if we stay sovereign and we stay whole, especially important as women, that we continue to put ourselves and our own needs first, we can continue to shine. We can shine brightly because our own battery is intact. We can only give when we have a place of overflow to give from, right? And I learned that myself firsthand, and it felt almost like if I was like a flashlight, it felt like my own battery was dying because I had poured so much into the relationship and it was not working. So I took my power back, remained in choice, and chose a different path. So I had an intention and I had a choice, and I asked for what I want. I asked my soul first, what does my soul need? And then I asked next for how can I move forwards? What's the next step for me? There's also a chapter on awakening keywords to empower your success. Now, if you're listening today and saying, wow, I really am looking forward to spring and summer. I want to make some changes in my life. I want to be having more joyful moments. Have you sat and thought about what is it that brings you the greatest joy? Yeah, get really centered on that. Pick up a journal. I encourage journaling every single morning, having a ritual, do some visualization, do some manifestations, do some journaling, put it down on paper because those words will have more power. And you can also come back to them as well. Journaling is not only about getting things out of your head, negative language, it's about creation as well. What do you want to create? So what is your intention? But think of it through the lens of joy. What brings you the greatest joy? And then find ways every single day to make sure that maybe you have 80% of your day that are doing things that are required for your family, for living, but make sure you have at least 20% of your day doing things that bring you joy. And ideally, you've got it the other way around. You're doing 80% of joyful things and 20% on the things that are necessary for your family to be thriving and surviving, whether that's working your job or working in your business. The other question or the other word is about receiving. So, how good are you at being a receiver? Now, when I interviewed women for my book, one of the women I interviewed was Marci Shymoff. And she's written a very expansive book looking at the topic of happiness. And she shared some insights with me that I want to share a little bit of. She gave me permission at the time to put some context into my book. I'm just going to page 147 here. There we go. Receive. So based on thousands of interviews, hundreds of conversations with coaching clients, especially with women, I know that most women give more than we receive. We give more than we receive. Does that sound like you? So in most religions, we're taught it's better to give than to receive. And yet when we don't have that energy of receiving, we can actually run out of our own steam. Now, we as women generate oxytocin when we are actually giving to others. So there's a distinct benefit in giving as well as receiving. Oxytocin, of course, is the hormone and neurotransmitter that's involved in childbirth and in breastfeeding. So this is why philanthropic giving nurtures and warms the heart so much, right? So Marcy Shymoff was talking about a few things. So she recommended asking yourself 5 questions. One was, do you push away or have a hard time accepting compliments? Yeah, what a great job you did. And you say, oh, it was nothing. It was something because they commented. So instead, perhaps you say, oh, thank you. I appreciate that you noticed this. I worked really hard on this and I'm happy, really happy how it turned out. Take the compliment, take the win. Second question, do you feel guilty when people offer to help you with things or to open up and receive help? How many times do people offer something and you say, oh, no, it's okay. I've got this. Take the help, right? Take the help. Do you have a hard time accepting or asking, right? Instead, gracefully accept their support with a simple thank you for caring to help. And I had to step myself into this concept of receiving just this weekend. And while it was somewhat going against my nature, I have still have a little bit of people pleasing tendency in my work to do on my own inner work. It was so well received, so well received. Do you have a hard time accepting gifts or letting things in any way? Do you downplay your success around others so that they don't feel bad or if they're not having the same kind of results? So let's not play small, ladies. Let's own it, right? When others say, oh, you're just lucky. Actually, I worked really hard on that. And I'm so pleased that it came out. Thank you for acknowledging that this made a difference. Because as Marcy said, if we push away the small things, then we're ultimately pushing away the good that the universe wants to give us. So action items, if you have your pen and paper handy, I'll give you some action items. And then I will give you that dial-in number again, if you're listening live to this show. So action steps, focus on your conversations this time with yourself. Start noticing how you are receiving help or pushing away offers of help or resisting. Notice it. And just ask, what can I do to be more open to receiving now? And practice the concept of receiving. Put that in your journal. What did you ask for? What did you receive? What just showed up, right? Although women often find sharing their success with others is a challenge, highlighting your results is simply keeping your connections, your colleagues, your family, your leader current on your contribution, on what you're doing in the world. One of the workshops I was at last year, I reframed the word brag because very often women are not comfortable bragging. Well, what if brag, those 4 letters, stood for something else, not a negative connotation? What if it stood for B, using your brains, R, using your resilience, A, taking action, and G was towards specific goals? What if all you were doing was describing how you did the work, what you did, what the action items were, and what you achieved? Yeah, all of a sudden brag has a whole different viewpoint. So if this highlighting initially feels uncomfortable for you, it does get easier with practice and you can build out your confidence muscle. That's what I call it. I recommend using the format of what you did, why it was important, how you used your particular skills or your talent, what was unique that you did to complete the task, who was impacted, how were they impacted, and when you completed it. And when you can show that maybe you had a specific project, you were on time and you were on budget, and you achieved the results, you delivered that project before the timeline, and it was a successful project. Where you saw the success using that format above makes it easy for others to show, to share in your success and to celebrate it. And it makes it easier for you to outline and describe it because all you're explaining is what you did, why it was important, how you used those skills, who was impacted, and when you completed it. So if you're curious to have a bit of a reframe on some of your inner self-talk, let's have a dial-in caller. One is the number 1-888-627-6008. You can dial in on that number toll-free. Or if you're not in a toll-free zone, you can also dial in on 323-744-4831. And we're going to go to a short break. During this break, you don't need to go anywhere. This is for me to grab some more water. We're going to actually play a little bit more of an introduction about the book, Words, Women, and Wisdom, The Modern Art of Confident Conversations, how it came about. And this is a video, but you'll also hear it if you're listening live on BBS Radio Station One. You'll also hear it as the audio version as well. So let's have that run by my show producer. Thank you so much. Here's the video. Ladies, a new book is on the horizon. Words, Women, and Wisdom, The Modern Art of Confident Conversations. This new book is for women ready to rediscover their inner confidence, take a stand for themselves in life and business by using more powerful language. Words are so powerful and already changed history. On October 5th, The New York Times published a story detailing decades of allegations of sexual harassment against film producer Harvey Weinstein. And numerous women in the entertainment industry found the courage to go public, banding together with a powerful voice that change is long overdue. Even Oprah Winfrey, television network icon, gave a rousing speech at the Golden Globe Awards in January. The media has showcased the Time's Up Legal Defense Fund. The Me Too movement is flourishing and all signaling it's time for women's equality and change. I believe it's time to give women the verbal agility to create more confident conversations. Words, Women, and Wisdom, The Modern Art of Confident Conversations is the book which provides practical approaches for women to ask for what we really want and receive our request.
Hello, I'm Yvonne Silver, certified executive coach and senior HR professional, seasoned in business. I teach women to flourish in business by using more confident language to help empower and engage others. This book is the result of over 35 years of my career, professional career, working in four different countries. I've interviewed over 6,000 people in my career for job interviews, executive coaching, for sales and consulting conversations. And I've listened to hundreds of women in particular who are looking for a better way to collaborate. They're looking to be asking for what they really want and heard and validated, especially in business. And women often earn less than men for doing exactly the same job. It's 2018. It's time for change.
The Modern Art of Confident Conversations explores words we use at home, at work, words that trip us up, elevate us, and encourage us, and when no words are even required. It is about how to leverage the power of words in a positive, in a collaborative, and impactful way.
Now I work with women entrepreneurs and leaders who are empowering other women and leading through mentorship programs and my coaching, public speaking, interviews, and writing. I'm passionate about women's equality. Why? I grew up in England in a house with a flow of negative comments from my father, which destroyed my mum's dignity until she became an empty shell of the vibrant woman she'd once been, belittled by constant criticism and questioning of her abilities. Through my own life journey and supporting hundreds of female clients, I've discovered critical words to ask to get what we really want collaboratively. I know there are critical links between our language, our behavior, our mindset, and our success in life. Words from a song can replay in our head for hours, and poetry can bring a lump in our throats. I've combined my insights with interviews from influential women, sharing their pearls of wisdom, supplemented with research and reference studies from established scholars. Women are rising up. It's time for women to be heard. Let's use more powerful, positive language and join the rising tide of change. This book is for you, a woman looking to the future, ready to embrace significant positive changes in your life by using more confident language. Eliminate those words that drain your power, add words that energize and invigorate, and shift from ordinary to extraordinary. Just one word can change your life. I believe every woman needs their own copy of this powerful book. It's time for action and time for change. Order and reserve your own copy of Words, Women, and Wisdom today.
Welcome back. We're diving into the second half of this conversation today about self-talk. Now, you may have only just seen, oh, we're doing a live show today, and didn't have the number handy. I gave it out before the break. I'll give it out one more time, and we'll see if we have dial-in callers with any questions. The number is 1-888-627-6008, or you can also dial in with any questions you have, or a little bit of a coaching moment. The number for the other direct dial is 323-744-4831. Let's dive back into this topic of self-talk. So many of us have mind chatter, your inner critic periodically occurring, right? Your amygdala is part of your inner brain that keeps, this is what keeps you safe, right? You may have heard of the amygdala, the almond-shaped piece of your brain in the limbic system, and it's really shouting all the time, danger, danger, that's its role, is to keep you safe. So when it comes to self-talk, The chatter is usually coming from, well, it's bubbling up from inside, but it's usually chatter which is, again, as I mentioned, critical, right? So your amygdala is essential to be feeling certain emotions and perceiving them in other people as well. So this could be fear. It could be how you're recognizing this in your body. It's what keeps you safe, right? If you're being followed at night in a, you know, dark parking lot, your amygdala is going to be very active, right? So any strength that you have, the strength to catch yourself when you're having negative self-talk, can be overused, right? It can become a weakness. So here are a few things that you can do when that mind chatter starts to bubble up. First off is, don't try and push the feelings down, right? That's like saying to someone, don't think about yellow elephants. Yeah, what just popped into your head, right? The mind goes straight to the elephants. So sit still, if you are sitting down at the time, put your feet firmly on the floor and take several deep, grounding, energetic breaths. And if the occasional thought flits in, just let it waft in and let it also waft out without placing focus on it. Practice becoming more aware of your actions, right? That's another thing you can do. Create a blank space to be able to, you know, visualize. I don't know if you're familiar, if you remember, there was a product growing up, when I grew up in England, called an Etch-a-Sketch. And it was a blank screen that you drew with a magnetic pen. And then once your picture was finished, if you wanted to do another picture, you just shook it and the whole thing created a blank space again. So imagine your mind as a blank space when it's got negative self-talk coming in. Give your head a bit of a shake, like the Etch-a-Sketch, and replace it with positive self-talk. You can also practice increasing your focus as well. So write down the actual events that have happened, what you've noticed about yourself, what you didn't like about your own particular outcome. Like, let's get a little bit of analysis going as well. You know, if you didn't like the outcome, then what was some of the self-talk that came before that that you may want to shift and exchange your low vibrational words for positive ones so that you will have a different outcome next time. And as you build your confidence, it'll allow you to start looking at the glass. If you think of life as a glass, either half full or half empty, you'll be able to start shifting your perspective to looking at the, you know, how can I do it even better next time, right? Remember, when you take action, that you have choices. Yes, you have choices. The other thing is, it's not always about the words that you use, right? There's more detail on how to shift that self-talk in the book. It's on page 198. There's a whole section on it, right? But sometimes it's not about using our words. It's about using the power of silence. So when do you want to use a power pause? When someone says something to you that takes you back, you're stunned, you can't believe that they actually said that, that is very often a great time to use a power pause. How do you do that? Well, you could simply ask them, excuse me, could you repeat that? And then you stop talking. This is actually one of the concepts that I have also referenced in my book, but I heard it mentioned again in a slightly different way on Mel Robbins' podcast recently, the author of the book, Tell Them, right? A lot of language and communication steps and strategies. So, excuse me? And very often, just by asking the person to repeat it, they have a second chance to think about what they actually said. And it probably will come out differently the second time. Now, if it doesn't, and you are still floored by what's coming out, that's when you can take back your power and say, excuse me, that is not resonating with my values. I would like to have a conversation about it. Let's book a time to do that. So give yourself some space and grace. You don't have to respond right in the moment. Unless you're a heart surgeon, a stockbroker, or a gynecologist, nothing is that urgent that you cannot create yourself some space to go away and think about, how do I want to respond in that situation? What would be an alternative answer? Because when women get, we feel like we're backed into a corner and we have to respond right away, very often, if there's an emotional charge to that, whatever's being said to us, that's when tears start. And while that is a way of expressing and flowing emotion, we don't want to flow, we don't want to keep our emotions in, because that becomes a stagnant pool of emotion. But again, in the workplace, you may not choose to be in tears at that moment, especially if you're working with a group of male colleagues. They don't always appreciate how to handle that. So give yourself the space and grace, right? Ask for using silence and ask for a power pause. Book yourself a time to revisit that conversation, right? The other thing is, sometimes we can set our energy up differently where we're not even being challenged. What do I mean by that? When we show up in our full energetic presence, and I talk about a phenomenal practice that Amy Cuddy talked about in one of her TED Talks, and it's using the power pose. So it's standing, say you're going for an interview, right? A lot of times people get really nervous when they're going in for an interview. Before you go into the interview, go to the ladies' room, stand in the bathroom, put your hands on your hips, like Wonder Woman pose, chin up, and stay in that position for 2 minutes. Your endorphins, your cortisol levels will shift And when you walk back out into that interview situation, you will feel more confident. You will be more grounded. And I talk about how to do the power pose in my book as well. So you can use your energetic presence in different ways. You can use your energetic resonance to come across more powerfully. You can deepen the tone of your voice so you sound like a newscaster versus the high-pitched sound that, you know, sounds more like Minnie Mouse and doesn't add to your credibility. And again, if you're nervous, acknowledge that you might need to slow your sentences down. Because if you're talking really fast, it shows you're really nervous. Whereas if you are thoughtful, you're slowing it down, you're using a deeper tone, you're coming across overall as more credible. And then make sure that you're aware that there is such a thing as personality science, and it does reflect how to communicate with different personality styles in different ways. Something that I've been trained in and working with expansively the past few years. So if you're talking to an action person, you better talk fast and get to the point really fast. And it's all about, how does this create a new opportunity for me? How does it make me more money? How does it make me famous? That's what the core values are for the action personality. The nurturing personality is going to want to know, how is this helping other people? How is it creating a team environment? How is it nurturing? How is it more about positive personal growth and development of others? They want to make a difference. They want to make an impact. They're still excited and they're passionate, but they have a different focus. The knowledge personality very much likes data and science and evidence and proof, which is why I put in a few statistics of some of the reports that I drew from when I was putting my book together. They want data, evidence, science, and proof. That's all that they care about, other than high tech, right? And they don't suffer fools gladly. So when you're communicating with them, they need something different from you. And then the last type is called the blueprint, which is a very structured mindset. So what's the steps involved? Where are we going with this? You better start on time. You better have a clear direction. You better have an agenda. And I can see how their structure is building to success. So nurses, doctors, lawyers, you know, very often driven by rules for a variety of reasons, right? Lawyers, police officers, et cetera, very often have more of a blueprint personality. They're not wavering. They like things very structured. So when you are communicating your point, when you understand that there are different personality styles that you're going to be working with and presenting to and engaging with, it makes a difference how you connect with people. And in a sales situation, if you're actually speaking to them in the same personality type, the same style, and if you want more about this, you know, you can pick up a copy of your own report on my website, but feel free to reach out on yvonnesilver.com/contact. And I'm happy to share more about this in a one-on-one call with you. But recognize that there are different personality types. When you match someone else's style, there is an 88% chance that you are going to have a collaborative conversation that may lead to a long-term relationship or a sales scenario. Versus if you're talking at them, you know, it's almost like I'm talking English, you're talking French. There's only an 18% chance that you're going to connect with them and have a valid conversation. So these things are refinements to communication techniques, many of which I learned during writing the book, Words, Women, and Wisdom, The Modern Art of Confident Conversations. Quite a few of them I learned afterwards when I really dived into the topic of personality science. The other simple thing that women can do to elevate their credibility is a really key one. Just by showing up differently. If you think about politicians and newscasters, very often you'll see them showing up. A, they have a jacket that has a collar on it, and women can easily do this as well. There's a variety of different collar styles, whether it's a big lapel, a mandarin collar, collarless. But ideally, wear a jacket that has a collar. It's like going to a golf course. If you think about, they don't let you wear a round neck t-shirt. It's too informal, too casual. They always ask for you to wear a shirt that has a collar on, hence golf shirts were created, right? Arnold Palmer. but wear a jacket, because that alone sets the bar a little bit higher. If you have a high contrast, so a white shirt and a dark jacket, a navy jacket, watch what politicians are wearing. Very often they're a great example of high contrast. Again, it sets the authority tone. It says, listen to me, I know what I'm doing, I know what I'm talking about, and it will elevate you. If you show up in a casual t-shirt, you're wearing, you know, a chiffon blouse, it's soft, it's flighty, it's fluffy, guess what? Some of your ideas are not going to come across with the same air of credibility if you are just meeting that person for the first time. So if you're in business to do business, show up in a business-like fashion, even if you're in a Zoom window. People can tell, they can look at your background, they can look and see whether you have put any energy into the meeting. If you were showing up in person, are you showing up the same way on Zoom as you would show up in person? Or is it looking like you just rolled out of bed, right? So your first impressions are really key. Your first impressions matter. And if you want to come across and have this evident, intentional energy, of an energy of authority, an energy of credibility, then your words must align with how you show up, your energy, and also with physically how you're showing up, because you only get one chance to make a great first impression. And people will decide within 10 seconds if they want to continue having a conversation with you. Yeah, it's very quick. So I talk about a lot of these strategies in the book, more expansive. So there are seven powerful words at work. Sorry, chapter seven are powerful words at work to be heard. Things like focus, prioritize, delegate, how to negotiate, amplify, and confident. And then chapter eight, which is actually it's available as a free chapter on my website right now, yvonnesilver.com. Click the free gift tab and you can pick up a copy of chapter eight. Includes silence and the power pause, intentional energy, leveraging silence, presence and body language, wardrobe and image for career advancement, that topic of first impressions, and lastly about choices and timing. Example being, if you're going for lunch with a potential client, don't dive into the juicy part of the conversation before you've ordered your meal, right? Have the small talk, have the rapport building conversations before the waitress, waiter comes and takes your order. Then they'll leave you alone for a little while. They've chopped up your water glass, brought you wine or coffee, and then they're going to leave you for a while because they're cooking and preparing your meal. It's a time when you can get into the essence. So I've shared quite a bit today. If you would like to learn more about this concept of using your language more powerfully, you can reach out and connect with me, yvonnesilver.com. You can click the link, watch the replay, listen to the replay, pick up these juicy ideas. And one last thing to mention, right now I'm also evolving what I call client attraction clarity, client attraction magic in five simple steps. So if you're looking to boost your business revenues, I have an opportunity right now to do some R&D at a really effective price point. So reach out to me and I'll tell you even more about that. So today has been a show sharing more about powerful words, using your self-talk more effectively. I hope you've enjoyed the show. Feel free to reach out to me, yvonnesilver.com, as your executive coach and partner in growth and expansion. And thank you for joining me today. Bye for now, everybody.